What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch with CJ Johnson.
Yes, yeah, some recommendations for things to cast our eyes over. There is such a choice these days, isn't there? You need someone to sort it out for you. That's what CJ's for. CJ, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening, Philip. Thank you very, very much.
Great to have you with us too. A couple of things tonight. Free Solo and Us. Or is it Us or is it US?
It's Us.
Us. Mm. Anyway, let's start with Free Solo. I've seen this too. This is the extraordinary documentary about a free climber called Alex Honnold. He's an American and without doubt the preeminent free climber in the world. He attempts in this documentary to become the first person to ever free solo climb a rock face in Yosemite National Park called El Capitan, which you would know because it's a screensaver on a very popular Apple software,
yeah,
amongst other things, apart from being extraordinarily well, famously photographed. This documentary is quite remarkable because it's possibly the greatest athletic feat that anyone would ever witness, isn't it?
I suppose you could look at it that way. I mean, one of the things, just to give it some context, this did win the Oscar for the best feature-length documentary at this year's Academy Awards, and it actually launched in Australian cinemas quite a while ago now, like about 6 or 7 or 8 weeks ago now, like a long time ago, and it is still running. It's one of those films that just has legs, and a strong reason for that is that it is so cinematic. To see this on a big screen is absolutely where it's at. However, that said, it can also now be seen on Foxtel on the National Geographic channel, for which it was originally made in the first place. So it's available in two different formats at the moment, at home on Foxtel or on the big screen. But yeah, I really recommend on the big screen. This is a fantastic big screen movie. Yeah.
When I saw it, I thought, I really do, I'm serious when I say I think it's the greatest athletic feat of any kind that I've ever seen performed by anybody. It may, in fact, it may never be performed again.
No, I don't think it will. So yeah, Alex Honnold is a free solo climber, and free solo means that he climbs without ropes.
Or anything else.
Yeah, he wears shorts and he wears what he calls his tight shoes, which are just kind of these stretchy shoes with rubber soles. He doesn't even wear gloves, which is fascinating to me, but obviously they rely so much on the tactility of their own fingertips that they don't even wear gloves. And he climbs free solo and he climbs all these different cliff faces, and that's what you've got to call them, cliffs, because it's not like mountain climbing where essentially you're hiking and occasionally gripping in this. It's really about gripping and finding small indentations in rock and clambering up like a Spider-Man type style. And there's a huge industry around, well, not a huge, I mean, obviously this sport and this industry is by its very definition and nature niche, because the people who are driven to it are niche, and then the people who can actually do it are niche again within that niche. I mean, it's very difficult and you've got to be a certain type of person to do it. But around that sport and around the industry around it, there are films. So just like there are skateboarding films for skateboard aficionados and surfing films, probably the biggest kind of these type of films is surfing films, but there are mountaineering films, and they would just, they're not watched by people outside the mountaineering community. They are a niche kind of filmmaking. But this film has broken through partly because it is based on this particular record-breaking climb, you know, the first time anyone has scaled El Capitan as a free soloist without ropes, and partly because this film goes beyond the act of documenting the climb itself into something richer and something far more accessible to the mainstream. And this film has become a mainstream hit. It's made, you know, many millions of dollars all over the world. It's a big hit for a feature-length documentary. So the three strands of the film are the climb itself, the nature of filming such a climb, and the ethical and moral dilemmas that it poses, because one of the big sort of metaphysical questions that the filmmakers face, which is in the film itself, is by filming him doing this, are we encouraging him to do it? Because basically they put it at his odds at falling at about 30%, and they put his odds, if he falls, of dying at 100%.
At 100%.
Because he's so high up and there's rocks below.
Well, the rock face is 3,000 feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the rock face is 3,000 feet, so he's hanging. Oh, well, he's hanging.
By his fingertips.
By his fingertips. On the rock wall that is at least vertical and sometimes off vertical, that is, it's leaning against him.
Yes.
For some part of the climb, and it's almost always vertical.
Yes, and he is doing this for about 3.5 hours.
Just to put some of this into perspective, I think the first person who climbed it with ropes took a week.
Yeah. And it was a team. And that's right, they took a week back in the 1950s. So most of these guys do this sort of thing with ropes, and then there is a subset of them that do it without ropes. And now we're getting into the real small amount of people who free solo heights above which they are certain to die, because the moment you're doing that, you're risking your life, and so therefore it requires a certain type of person. And one of the things this film does very, very well is, as I say, it documents the climb, it looks at the nature of filming these sort of climbs, but it really examines the type of person who does this sort of thing through the lens of this particular person being Alex Hunnelt. And it examines what kind of person they need to be in relation to all sorts of things, in relation to risk-taking, in relation to how they relate to other human beings, because by their very nature, they're very much loners because they kind of live this lonely existence. He, even though he's got millions of dollars, or as he says to a school when he's telling them about what he does and some kid wiseacrely asks him how much money he has, he says probably as much as a moderately successful dentist, which I would peg at, you know, a few million dollars in the bank, but he lives in a van and he doesn't care at all for material possessions. Indeed, he gives away 40% of his income straight off the top to these charitable foundations that he set up to help people build solar infrastructure in third world countries. So all he does is he lives in this van, he cooks for himself, he sleeps, he lives this lonely existence.
Well, cooks is hardly a...
Yes.
He fries food in a one saucepan that he seems to have.
It's very fun watching him cooking because in many ways he is like a boy, really, that hasn't really grown up in his attitude to sort of cooking and living this bachelor life. But then the third strand of the film, which is really, I think, the thing that's kicked this film off into the mainstream, into, you know, real popular success, is that he gets a girlfriend. And over the course of him planning for this climb, we also see him developing his relationship with his girlfriend. And every extra day he spends with her, and the more he grows to like her and indeed love her, the more you would think that this would impact on him not wanting to climb, but no, his climbing is absolute. He will never not climb, and by climbing, he risks his life. So he will always risk his life. So the essence of not only being someone who is learning how to love another human being while always going off to work and risking your life, and then also what kind of a person, being this woman who's a lovely young woman, can be with someone who, when she says, you know, bye, honey, see you at the end of the working day, knows that they might not come back because they will literally die at their
job. Well, she puts it on him at one stage, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And she says, you know, would you give it up for me?
Yeah.
And he answers quite honestly. He says no.
He says absolutely not, I think. Yeah. He says, or maybe he says, you're right, maybe he just says no, like straight like that. Yeah.
I mean, he's quite clear about it.
Yeah. Oh, so clear.
Yeah, and in a way that I don't know, I didn't myself judge that.
Oh, no.
You enter his world, you see that.
And you can't, because you only need to spend a few minutes with him on screen to understand that this guy is a one-passion wonder. You know, he is so committed to his singular passion that there's no way he would give it up for anyone or anything. He wouldn't stop it for money. He wouldn't stop it for love. He wouldn't stop it. He is... Mm. You do wonder if a child comes along, whether that will at least make him sort of temper it a little bit.
Well, he has to stop at some point because otherwise he will die.
But it's fascinating because this film, at one point, about a third of the way through, it stops and gives you a little moment where it tells you about all the climbers who do the same thing, all of them who've died just in the last few years.
Just in the last few years.
And there are so many of them, and they all tend to die at around late 30s. Mm. You know, most of them don't make it past 40, and they all die climbing. I mean, this is all people who die doing what they do. And so you must kind of figure that when you're in your mid-30s, your clock is really ticking. You must look at the stats and be like, you know, I should just stop now.
Mm. All right, it's called Free Solo. Here's a little from the documentary.
From there, either karate kick or double dino to an edge on the opposite wall. In some ways, it makes more sense to do the big two-handed jump because you're jumping to a good edge, so there's actually something to catch. But the idea of jumping without a rope seems completely outrageous. If you miss it, that's that.
Yes, there is a whole segment in the climb called the boulder problem, and that makes it sound very very banal. It's not.
No. The way they all talk about, because there are other climbers in it too, climbers who help him, climbers who just know him, etc. The way they talk about death is fascinating because it's not how the rest of the population talks about death.
Not at all. Go and see it. Free solo.
Can I just mention one other thing?
Yes.
Even though, and this, spoiler alert, you know, he survives, and we know he survives because we've seen him stand up and win the Oscar with the people who made the film. But even though I knew he survived, during the actual climb itself, I felt nauseous with anxiety. Yeah, yeah.
It's almost unwatchable in some ways. All right, now what's this thing? What's this movie? Us.
So Us is the most talked about film in the world at the moment. It's just opened in Australian cinemas. It opened last week in American cinemas. It's opening in British cinemas. It's all over the world. It's the new film from Jordan Peele. Jordan Peele made the film Get Out. And Get Out was this absolutely huge mammoth hit. It won him the screenplay for best original screenplay. It won him the Oscar, pardon me, for best original screenplay. And it was critically absolutely adored, and audiences adored it. And what he did with Get Out was he merged the horror genre with a fair bit of comedy and also a huge amount of social satire and social critique. And it was very much this kind of scathing attack on race and this scathing statement about race in the United States, while also being this incredibly effective horror film. And he hit such a six with that movie that everyone has been massively eagerly awaiting this second film. And he's finally delivered it. And it is fascinating because it is similar to, I suppose, that difficult second album, that sophomore album, you know, when musicians have their entire lives to make their first and then 2 years to make their second. And that's kind of how long he's taken between Get Out and this one. So once again, he's made a horror film. Once again, it has comedic elements, but it is its main genre is horror. And once again, it also has massive things to say about society. This time, it is less distinctly and absolutely about race in the United States, but it's very, very much about class in the United States, while also being an effective horror film as well. It is, its basic setup is that there is this black American middle-class family who have a summer lakeside vacation home, and they go to that summer lakeside vacation home for the summer. And while they're there, the mother of the family, who's played by Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave, she gets revisited by past trauma, and things start to become scarier and scarier. But what the film does beyond, it sort of ventures into, it uses a lot of horror movie tropes, and it uses all sorts of references, and Jordan Peele is really into the whole entire history of horror films. And the more horror films you see, the more you'll have a chuckle during this film as he references all these ones and homages and visual references and cues and motifs. But the main sort of guts of the horror setup is the home invasion style horror film. But from there, he expands it, especially in the third act of the film, to this much larger sweeping sort of condemnation of the quote unquote invisible class structure in the United States that really gives you something to think about. I wasn't ever scared during the film, even as I appreciated the technique and the craft he showed. But I'll tell you what, I've not stopped thinking about the film afterwards. It is almost, and this is damning with faint praise, I suppose, it is almost a film that is so smart and is so full of ideas that it's more fun to think about afterwards than it actually is to watch.
All right, here is a little from Us.
Okay, let's call the cops.
I did. They're 14 minutes away.
What? 14 minutes? Okay. Jason, give me the bat.
What bat?
The baseball bat, the bat. There's one in the
corner. Here.
Thank you.
Gabe.
All right, hold on. I got this. Let's try this again.
Gabe.
No.
All right.
Gabe!
I got this.
Oh, I don't think he has.
No, he does not.
Okay, all right. Stars for Free Solo?
Oh, you got to give it 4, yeah?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And us?
3.5.
3.5 stars. Good offering, says Week CJ.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.